You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Roto Experts with your hosts, Mike Blewett and George Kurtz. Now, here's Mike and George.
Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. More importantly, welcome to the Roto Experts. I'm Mike Blewett along with George Kurtz. Today is cut down day in the NFL. Not a fun day. A lot of guys losing their jobs will be on the street. We'll talk a little bit about some notable cuts that happened here in the last 24 hours or so. Obviously, Brock Osweiler is no longer a member of the Browns. But there are other couple of big pieces of news as we approach cut down day. Some deals were made and some suspensions handed out. First of which, George, is Willie Snead missing the first three games. It obviously was not as highly publicized a possible suspension as was somebody like Ezekiel Elliott's. But Willie Snead did have a DUI earlier this year. And if you drafted him, you're going to suffer the loss of Willie Snead for the first three games of the season.
You know, Mike, in my two home leagues, they're both keeper leagues. In the league that I'm the commissioner in, my home league, I kept Spencer Ware. That didn't work out so well for me. Only player I kept was Spencer Ware. In the other home league, only kept one player. Guess who that player was?
Willie Snead,
and I lost him, too. I guess it was somewhat surprising that we hadn't heard about this, that he was going to be suspended. Apparently, the
appeal process, under the radar.
Yeah, the appeal process had already been gone through. It was supposed to be four games. He got it down to three. So, hey, he's gone until pretty much the end of September, October. It does change his value a little bit. It also raises the value of a Ted Ginn a little bit. I would call it a big-time raise. And Brandon Coleman is someone I had already raised a little bit to really wide receiver five territory. He stays there. He's not going to move up drastically with this move. But Ted Ginn becomes more interesting now for those drafting this weekend.
Yeah, it also, look, at the end of your drafts, I think we say this enough, but I would just like to reiterate. At the end of your drafts, it is unlikely that you're going to keep those last three or four players. You got your kicker and your defense in rounds 15 and 16, if we're talking about a standard 12-team or 10-team, 16 roster spot league. So picks 12, 13, 14, George, a lot of times we're cutting those guys pretty soon anyway. So if you have misgivings about, I don't want to pick up Ted Ginn and then have to cut him in a month, why not? You're going to do it with the other guy that you picked there anyway.
I agree. What I like to say, last couple of picks are dart butt throws. You know, put slick some mud against the wall hoping it sticks. And you're absolutely right. That's the guy you're going to get rid of when you're going to go to the hot waiver wire guy or when you need your bye week hits in week four anyway or whatever it is. So why not take Ted Ginn? Ted Ginn's actually more than that. He's a better player. It's the mud against the wall guy. He's a boomer. He's a boomer.
But Brandon Coleman could be that guy.
Coleman can be that guy. I kind of like Brandon Coleman.
The problem is he's been in that offense for a few years. He seems to keep getting passed over by players that they're drafting and or acquiring during the offseason. So that's the issue I have with Brandon Coleman. But now there's a little bit of a clearer path to that. There's also a lot of running back touches in that passing offense. So we're not going to overpromise anything. We're letting you know. A little bit of a dartboard throw. Why not pick up Brandon Coleman or Ted Ginn? Talk a little bit more about the Saints and the somewhat blockbuster of a deal as we approach the deadline between the Seahawks and the Jets. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike Blewett and George Kurtz, we are the Roto Experts. Hit us up on Twitter today. I know a lot of you have drafts going. We're headed towards week one. We'll answer some lineup questions, but frankly, we want to get a couple more days into this before. This is always the crossover weekend, George, where we have to answer a lot of draft questions, but people are getting eager to find out who they should start in some of their leagues. So we'll take any and all questions. I did a show earlier this week with Jake Seeley, and he is absolutely no lineup questions until Tuesday. So he draws his line in the sand. I'm not going to do that. I'll answer those questions, and we can do so if you give us a call today at 844-843-6879. That's 844-FNTSY. And on Twitter,
at FNTSY Radio is the best place. But if you want to ask George and I questions individually, at Mike Blewett, and George is at George Kurtz. So with that being said, I believe we do have a call from loyal listener Steve G. Steve, how are you doing?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for calling us, Steve.
Great. I'm in a 12-team PPR keeper league. I'm able to keep David Johnson and Devontae Freeman as my running backs and Mike Thomas as my wideout. Okay. I have the 10th and the 15th pick. My plan is to take Brandon Cooks and Amari Cooper. But if that doesn't work, the next available wideouts would be Golden Tate, Larry Fitzgerald, Demaryius Thomas. So do you suggest I reach in the second round for one of those wideouts just to start them? Or do I go best available, which would be DeMarco Murray or Dalvin Cook as my running back, and just use them as depth?
That's a pretty good question. George?
As soon as you have the word, use the word reach, then I'm going in the other direction. Because right, I'm not going to reach on a player, not in the second round. I don't take very many chances. You're starting off with, fantastic. Really, three first-round picks, Johnson, Freeman, and Thomas. I don't see the reason why you need to take any chances in the second round. I'm taking best player available. For me, that's more than likely going to be DeMarco Murray out of all the guys you named. I guess you're making an argument for Brandon Cooks. But I would have Murray and Cooks as my next two there, and then Cooper, and probably Dalvin Cook comes after that. I'm going to almost definitely take a running back because they're going to run out quick by the time you pick again. So I'll probably almost absolutely take in Murray if he's available. Cooks comes after that, then Cook.
I wonder, Steve, if all those players that you mentioned will actually be available, because considering the level of players that you've been able to keep, I would imagine that some of the other teams at least have kept some of the good players. But, if you know that all those guys are in the player pool, so be it. I just hope you're able to get a couple of those guys.
Yeah, no, everybody's in the player pool. My basic grappling is, do I spend the second round pick for a bench player, which would be a DeMarco Murray, because I'm not going to start him over the... No, I only have a three wide out, two running back league. So do I reach just to fill out my starting role, or do I use that second round pick, what would essentially be a bench player for now, unless someone gets hurt?
I'll side really with what George was saying. I don't think you want to go for the reach. I think you want to go best player available. The only thing I would say is that I wouldn't go two running backs. I would go one and one, or I'd go two wide receivers. That's the only thing I would say generally. I like all the players, obviously, that you mentioned. These are guys at the top of the draft. Larry Fitzgerald is probably the one with the lowest ADP right now, but I like him more than most experts. I think people are trying to get out on Larry Fitzgerald like they were last year. Doubting the Cardinals in some way, shape, or form. But I think he can go one and one. I just wouldn't go two running backs. I don't think it's a reach to provide depth like that, because if you and I and George put our heads together, we could figure out that all three of these guys aren't going to play 16 games. You have bye weeks in there, and it's okay. And if you find yourself screaming towards the playoffs and you're undefeated and DeMarco Murray can be dealt for a wide receiver, then you can do it at that time. But it doesn't hurt to have him on the bench.
All right, great. Thanks so much for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate
No problem. Thanks for listening. And that was Steve from New York. So good stuff, George. Obviously, he's off to a good start with that roster. And I think, you and I are sort of a best player available type of approach in these scenarios.
I'm almost always best player. His league's a little different. Didn't realize he didn't have a flex, so that could change things a little bit. If I would now understand if you didn't want to draft DeMarco Murray, because you already got Johnson, you already got Freeman, you already have your two starters. I know you love one starter. So I can actually see this now, where Cooks definitely becomes the next pick now. If you wanted to go Cooper over Murray, now I don't have an issue with it. Because I get the logic behind it, because he's not going to start for you anyway. So I'm actually okay with Steve going in that direction now. No flex there changes things.
Yeah, to fill out this starting roster completely, I'd get it. I mean, I really would have to approach it as the draft went along. But based on the players he told me, I would personally be more likely to take the two wide receivers. I like Cooper of that mix that he mentioned, and obviously said Cooks and Demaryius Thomas would be there too. Demaryius Thomas, again, because of the quarterback situation, he's just getting downgraded a little bit too much. And something I even talked about on a show earlier this week, there is a really odd disparity between where Demaryius Thomas is being drafted and where Emmanuel Sanders is being drafted. Their stats were not that far apart last year, and there's almost a three-round difference at times between these guys.
Yeah, it's a little strange. I don't know why. I mean, I was as soon as Semi was named starting quarterback for Denver, I had no problem with Demaryius Thomas. Yeah, he is where he is, but mid-range wide receiver, too. He'll put up his numbers. I was much more worried with Paxton Lynch. Right. I was much more worried with Paxton Lynch being the quarterback, how much that would affect him. So I have no issues with Thomas, but I understand people. You know, the upside may not be there. And I think that Denver will try and harness Semi. They're not going to try and they're not going to let him throw the ball 40 times a game. So I get it. With that defense, we're going to win some games in the fourth quarter, make sure Semi doesn't make the big mistake. But he's not going to throw the ball 18 times a game either. So I'm okay with Demaryius Thomas. I think he is being downgraded a little bit too much.
Yeah, so Demaryius Thomas finished 11th amongst wide receivers in 2015. He was 16th last year. He had two 100-yard games last year, three additional 90-yard games. Only caught five touchdowns. I think that's what people were bummed about. He didn't catch any touchdowns after his bye week, which was week 11. Was it the explosive Demaryius Thomas that we saw in the past? No, but 90 catches for 1,000 yards and five touchdowns is pretty good. On the 145 targets, maybe you want the catch rate to be a little bit higher, but ultimately, he had a good season. Now, comparing him to Emmanuel Sanders caught 79 passes, but for 1,032 yards, so the yardage was very close, and they both caught five touchdowns. So his breakdown last year is he had three 100-yard games. As far as 90-yard games, nothing there, but a couple of more mid-80s. Again, five touchdowns. He caught two in one game, so there was a stretch from week 5 to week 12 where he didn't catch a touchdown. I think that's the frustration of this offense, George. Obviously, they're running the ball a little bit more. As you said, they're harnessing Semien. It's not going to be an explosive offense, so maybe we don't see as many red zone opportunities, period, as we've seen in the past. But you could probably make the argument that they'll advance from where they were last year with Semien's second year in charge. Now, coaching change and all that kind of stuff you have to factor in, but you kind of like who they have on that coaching staff with Mike McCoy there and a second-year guy or second-year starter in Trevor Semien.
Yeah, I think when people look at it, they also see that upside going to be limited. You know, everybody wants the upside, and the upside here probably is limited. There really isn't any. You know, I think pretty much it is what it is. What you said, what I said, I think it's what's going to happen there. They're going to rely on their defense. It's not going to be a Jacksonville team where they don't want the quarterback to throw because they don't have the running game to do that. You know, they don't have their Leonard Fournette. So they are going to have to throw more than probably a little bit more than we think. As I said, I like Demaryius Thomas, the mid-range wide receiver, too. I think I've had 15 overall. So I think he's going to put up the numbers. He is a special talent. So he'll make his plays. But I understand the upside's not there. He may not be the sexy pick, the big guy. He's sort of a conservative pick where, okay, you're going to get what you're going to get without a chance for a big-time upside. I get that. And in the second, third round, maybe you do want to go with somebody else. But I think he's a safe pick, and I have no issues with him.
Yeah, Trevor Semien missed 2.5 games last year, and he threw the ball nearly 500 times. It's not an abysmally... Abysmally, is that even a word? It's not an abysmal.
It is
total.
Now.
Yeah. whatever I can do to further the English language, I'm willing to do, George. So it's not a pathetically low number of attempts, and I'll try and get a sense of where that stood in terms of everybody else. He's down. I mean, he's down the list a ways, but he did miss 2.5 games. So had he been healthy, he would have been, honestly, he would have had more passing attempts than Matt Ryan. So it gives you some sense. They were trailing a bit. They couldn't run the ball all the time. They lost 7 games last year, so it wasn't the same Broncos team from a couple of years ago. So I think there's a little bit more there than people suspect. I would imagine Demaryius Thomas does the same thing he did last year and Emmanuel Sanders as well. So drafting a little too low, especially on Sanders. We'll talk about the Sheldon Richardson to the Seahawks and Jermaine Kearse to the Jets. See what kind of value there is there for Kearse after the break on the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Taking it down a notch.
It's sleepy time
on the Roto Experts.
Thanks for joining us this morning as we the soothing sounds of the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Like
so,
a dentist chair.
That's not a thought I want to do it at this time of day, but I hear where you're coming from. It's they're trying to, you know, relax you, put you to sleep before they do some hard drilling. Well, we're not going to do that, but we're going to drill down on your fantasy rosters, buddy. How about that?
Nice save,
you like that?
Nice save. Nice save.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's not bad. So I did a draft a couple of nights ago. That was fun. It was a keeper league. The only keeper that I had was Matt Ryan in the 11th round. It's a home league. It's a league that I've it's been pretty competitive. I have not even won this league yet in the 5 years, I think, that I've done it. I've had success. I just, you know, I keep getting
some expert you are.
Yeah, I know. It happens. But I keep getting tripped up in the playoffs, although I didn't even make it last year. It was a disaster at the running back position. I think I was going Mark Ingram and Tim Hightower at one point as my starting running backs because everybody else got hurt or was terrible. Speaking of which, Tim Hightower, who was rumored to be taking Carlos Hyde's job at some point, he got cut yesterday. So that's not going to happen. In any event, I did this keeper league the other night, George. I was the 5th overall pick. The only big-time player in that first half of the first round that was kept was David Johnson, which was a really good value in the second round. So at 5, I got Mike Evans. No issues there. But what I would say is that my running – so I went Mike Evans, and on the turn, I went with Amari Cooper just because I thought he was the best value there personally. However, it was a little bit of a calculation there. Leonard Fournette had gone, Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette had gone right in front of me. David Johnson was gone. Le'Veon was gone. Gordon, Freeman, McCoy, all those guys were gone. Now, I made a calculation, and I guess I can call it a slight miscalculation because I didn't think all of these running backs would go before it swung back to me. Which was about, you know, 9 picks later. But they did. Marshawn Lynch went. Lamar Miller went. Kareem Hunt went. Christian McCaffrey went. Carlos Hyde went. And then I was left, and I felt like this is the last branch to grab on the way down before it's guys that I don't want. And I took Joe Mixon. Now, I know I have talked a lot about the misgivings I have regarding the Cincinnati offense because their offensive line could struggle a lot. They didn't do a lot. They didn't do much to replace the guys that they lost in Zeitler and Andrew Whitworth. And I think that Andy Dalton could be in for it this year with this offensive line struggling. I also have concerns that with these three running backs who are all capable, behind that offensive line, I just don't know how much of a breakout season Mixon can have. Now, I think he'll be a really good rookie, but I'm concerned, but the problem is I felt like he's the guy with big potential, and I didn't feel that way about the next few guys that went off the board, which were Ty Montgomery and Doug Martin and Mark Ingram, whom I like, but, you know, there's touches that aren't going to go around. C.J. Anderson, like, that was the next group. So do you feel like I jumped at the right guy at the right time?
As far as the running backs go, yeah. I mean, yeah. I have Mixon on several teams. You know, I think I've got him on at least 3, including both home leagues, which is kind of odd. Talent is there. You already named the problem. It's the offensive line. Also, it was a little annoying that Jeremy Hill is still around to take some – that was strange, right? In April or May, we heard, oh, he'll be released eventually. And now he's made the team in looks like he's going to get at least a little bit of playing time. I mean, maybe Mixon has a full-time role.
He's on a cheap deal, George. He's on a cheap deal, Jeremy Hill. I don't see why they would have to cut him.
Because he's terrible. Fumbles the ball, and look at his numbers.
I don't like him. No, I know. I don't like him.
So, listen, you can get me on a cheap deal. I mean, you should give me the rock. But so that's the only thing that's a little strange there, that he's still around there to annoy. That's really what it is. He's there to annoy. Just to get just enough touches to, you know, tick you off. So that's the only thing I feel there, that I'm just surprised that Jeremy Hill is there still to still do annoy fantasy owners as far as taking Mixon where you would. Although the other running backs, yes, I don't know what wide receivers are available. That may have been a direction I would have gone in.
Well, I'd just taken 2 to open the draft, And I felt like I was going to be without a running back. And in this league last year, it was a disaster. My starting running backs were Mark Ingram and like Jeremy Langford, I think I started the season with. And then it just went south from there. Just a bunch of guys kept getting hurt. I couldn't replace anybody fast enough. But the wide receivers that went around that were Keenan Allen, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams, Jarvis Landry, Alshon Jeffrey.
Adams slipped.
He did. He did. And that was I think that was my choice really there, as I was looking at Devontae Adams and really building out my wide receiving core, or Mixon. So I went Mixon in this instance. I don't think I'm going to take Mixon again, but I have some exposure now. So it is what it is. I got to root for him to pick up some yards. I just wanted to ask you that question because it's been something that I've been thinking about for the last couple of days. In any event, transition over to talking about the Jets and the Seahawks, and they pulled off a trade. It's kind of a surprising trade right before cutdown day. There were rumors that Kurse might be cut, but the Jets and Seahawks put together a deal to help the Jets mostly for the long term, because Jermaine Kurse is not likely to be a Jet after this season.
You mean the Jets aren't playing to win this season?
No, but he did improve their wide receiving core. Because the starters were Robbie Anderson and Sherrone Peak.
Not saying all that much.
I know, but it is an improvement. And they also get a second-round pick out of this deal. Sheldon Richardson, I don't understand how they got a second-round pick and a wide receiver out of this deal. They've been shopping him for 5 months. But good for them. They did get a good amount of value, and the Seahawks have a guy that has a ton of potential. Obviously, he's been a knucklehead or worse off the field. But the Seahawks don't really have a problem welcoming guys like that into the locker room because they tend to sort themselves out.
Yeah, Pete Carroll does like to throw a lot of, put some fire, gasoline, see what happens there. Didn't work out well last year. These guys were all at each other's throats. Maybe it figures itself out this season. Listen, the deal was written for a second-round pick. Kurse is going to be released. He's a throw-in. All right, so don't care about him whatsoever. Jets did pretty well here. You know, they had tried to trade Schützen several times over the past 12 to 18 months without any success. A lot of it was because Schützen wouldn't redo his contract. He didn't redo it here either. You know, Seattle said, fine, we'll take it. They're sort of going for broke here. Richardson is a free agent at the end of the season. That's another monster on that defense. That defense stays healthy. That defense is going to be a nightmare for teams to face. Good luck.
Very good depth. There. Very good depth in the front four. So even if he has to rotate out, I think this Seattle defensive line could really create headaches now. We already know how good the defensive backs are, but this defensive line is really beefed up a lot, George.
Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a nightmare. They have depth all over the place. If that offensive line can just play average, I mean, give Russ Wilson time to throw, open up some holes for whoever's going to run the ball there. This team's going to be one of the best teams in the NFC and very tough to beat.
Yeah, they could win the Super Bowl. If this offensive line is average to above average, they could win the Super Bowl.
Oh, if it's above average, they win the Super Bowl. If it's average, they're nasty. Right now, the problem is it's well below average.
Yes, this is true. They did lose their left tackle, George Fant, to an ACL injury. I heard Scott Engel talking. He thinks it's an upgrade because Fant was a turnstile. I think it's fair to say that, addition by subtraction, but honestly, on an offensive line like that, which already has question marks, to lose depth, I think, is a problem. Because even if Fant couldn't be a starting left tackle, he could have played somewhere along the way during the season. So I do think it hurts them overall. But fair to say that maybe a little bit of addition by subtraction. So Richardson there, from an IDP perspective, you know, he plays the interior some, so you'd really have to check your scoring and individual defensive players to see exactly how many snaps Richardson is going to get and where. So I don't have in our IDP league, George. I don't know if you do. But Sheldon Richardson, from what I remember, hasn't been a standout in that league where we award a lot of points to interior defensive linemen.
No, he hasn't, and I don't think that's going to change a whole bunch here. I think he will be in some kind of rotation because of the depth there. Unless they're able to make that trade, and Trevisani, if they can, then yes, maybe he would get more snaps here. But he's not somebody I'd be dying to get an IDP either. The league we play in, you mentioned, Mike, it is DTs are awarded extra points, so they can be valuable there. But still, I don't know if you're going to be going out of your way to get Richardson.
All right, so let's – I know – look, I think people are probably sick of us talking about the Jets at all, but we have to try to find some value. And we even – I even talked earlier this week about how Sherrone Peak could be an interesting flyer. It was Jake Seeley that was mentioning it at All In Kid on Twitter. It could be an interesting flyer because somebody's got to catch the ball. Well, now that this muddies the waters, and Jermaine Kearse comes in a couple of days basically before they're starting their first game – do you think Kearse has as much or more value than any of the other Jets receivers in Peak or Robbie Anderson?
No, I said this is a who cares. People are making way too big a thing of this. He was going to be released. Mm-hmm. All right, that pretty much tells you that the Jets just have nothing better. All right, for the Jets, he may end up being they're no worse than their number two. You know, and that's sad that Jermaine Kearse automatically comes up. A guy who's going to be no worse than your number two. Maybe he is your number one over Robbie Anderson. That being said, you're talking about a guy you're hoping knows the system, can get chemistry at the quarterback in 7 days? No, thank you.
All right. So there you go. But there's a chance he'll be the number one. So I think it's late-round flyers, probably about where you were drafting Robbie Anderson. But I'd prefer not to really take any of that. I don't think I'm going to have any shares of Kearse. It's a late-round flyer. I probably still would draft Robbie Anderson over him just because he's been in the system for a while. So I think that's it. I think we'll put the moratorium on Jets talk for the rest of the day. So that's the deal. We'll talk a little bit more about some surprising cuts on Cut Down Day as we stream towards the final 53 on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George taking you all around the world in the NFL as we are at Cutdown Day. A lot of guys losing jobs today, George. I know we tend to talk about this stuff and on some level, but there's a lot of guys that lose their jobs today. It's kind of a bummer. You know, the NFL, because of the way things have worked out over the last many years, it goes from a big number to a small number very quickly. There used to be more of a gradual cut down, but now it goes all at once down to 53. And you see a lot of guys out on the street, some of whom may very well become fantasy relevant at some point, but ultimately stinks for them. A lot of young guys trying to make it happen. And some of them probably missed by, you know, a play or two, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a brutal day. I think it's, 37 times 32. Someone said it comes out to 1,184 players will lose their jobs today. About 300 of them will end up on practice squads, so, you know, a quarter get their job back. But, yeah, today is it's a brutal day in the NFL.
Yeah, so we'll talk about a couple of those players and exactly where we could see them ending up, because some of them, even if they're not totally fantasy relevant, there is some NFL relevancy to them. But first, I want to tell you about Fantasy Factor. And Fantasy Factor is running another NFL Survivor contest. It's $1,000, winner take all. But it's free to enter. So simply sign up at fantasyfactor.com and make your pick each week. Last man standing takes home $1,000, so someone is going to win the $1,000, it might as well be you. Fantasy Factor is the only DFS site that is exclusively single-entry contest. www.fantasyfactor.com. Sign up now. So if you're into survivor pools, you can do that. Good times. So, George, Brock Osweiler is a guy that we've spent a lot of energy talking about in the last two seasons. His transition over to the Texans as their starting quarterback obviously didn't work, and now here he finds himself out in Cleveland with DeShone Kizer being named the starter. His $16 million salary will be fully guaranteed and paid by the Browns. They got a second-round pick along with that, effectively paying $16 million for a second-round pick. So I don't think it's over for him yet. I think he can obviously catch on somewhere else, but clearly if you're losing this job when they were going to pay you anyway, it says a lot about what the Browns thought of them.
Yes, it did. Not much. You know, didn't think much of them. You said they paid for a second-round pick. They weren't paying for Osweiler. They paid for that second-round pick. $16 million, Osweiler's gone. They did try to make some noise. Oh, he's going to be our starter this year, hoping they could trade him. You know, that was never going to happen. So they didn't get another pick in regards to Osweiler. Will he latch on with somebody? Maybe. Probably as a backup. But I think his days as a starting NFL quarterback, barring injury, are done.
You know, there's an odd dynamic in the NFL when it comes to quarterbacks, because if you are a high pick or at one point you had a lot of expectations put on you and it doesn't work out, in many instances, you just find yourself out of the league as opposed to backing up somewhere. Now, some guys can make that transition well and be a good teammate and be in that quarterback room and assist. Like David Carr was able to do that. So he hung around for a long time as a backup. But you see more often the stories like, well, Johnny Manziel's got issues, but more like Robert Griffin, where obviously Robert Griffin had some injury issues, but you would think the talent level, he could at least find himself on a roster somewhere. But nope, he's just sort of toxic to some coaches. They don't even really want him on the team because he maybe represents failed potential.
I don't think it's that. Once again, if you have someone like Griffin on your team, this comes down to Kaepernick as well. You have to change your offense to fit what they do well. You know, unless you have that offense already in place, that's difficult to do in a week. You know, if you get hurt on a Sunday, to have all of a sudden Kaepernick or Robert Griffin in there by next Sunday, I think that's what it comes down to. There are teams that do have that. I've mentioned him several times. He would make sense in Dallas. He would make sense in Seattle. There's two or three other teams that a Griffin would make sense there, or a Kaepernick for that matter. You know, but I think it's very difficult. It's like, it's why some teams don't like having left-handed backup quarterbacks. Same things. Everything changes a little bit with the left-handed from right-hander. And for a guy who's not a pocket passer, it's even more so.
The Cowboys, ironically, do have a left-handed backup in Kellen Moore.
Oh, that depends on what you believe. Is Cooper Rush now the backup?
That's a good point. What do you think?
I think Rush has much more potential. I don't know why. And teams do this a lot. We see this in all sports, about baseball, football, where the guy they have, they believe in the guy because he's already been on the roster. You can pretty much tell Kellen Moore is not going to be an NFL quarterback, not a starting quarterback. At best, he's going to be a second, third stringer. Rush has potential. Why wouldn't he be your backup now? The only reason is that he doesn't know the system as well as Moore. But I left with the backup quarterback anyway most times, Mike. If your starter goes down, odds are you're done anyway, unless he's only down for two or three games. If he's down for the season, you're going to lose, you know, whatever, Dak Prescott for 8-10 games and until next year. Who cares who the backup is? You're done.
It's mostly true. We've seen a few instances. We're talking about Colin Kaepernick. We saw Colin Kaepernick come in the middle of the run towards the Super Bowl for the Niners. I guess that was the 2012 season. Where Jim Harbaugh benched Alex Smith. Did I say? Yeah, it's Jim. Jim Harbaugh benched Alex Smith. And then in the past, I mean, there's really not many other instances where
find outliers where it does happen.
Yeah, it's exactly right. It's the outlier. Typically, when you lose your starting quarterback, you're done. Now, the 99 Rams would argue with me, the 2012 Niners, because obviously Kurt Warner wasn't the starter until Trent Green got hurt in the preseason. But, you know, Warner obviously had time to ramp up over the course of the entire year. When it happens midseason, you're usually in big trouble. It's nice to have a guy serviceable like a Matt Moore or somebody like that. But, you know, we talk about Matt Moore being serviceable. We had conversations for about 5 minutes about Matt Moore before they signed Jay Cutler. So they obviously didn't feel that great about him in Miami after Ryan Tannehill went down.
A backup can win you. You know, you're hoping if your starter's out four games, you can go 2-2. That's what you want out of a backup. And generally, that's all you're going to get. You know, at best case scenario, if your quarterback's out for the season, going to miss 8, 9, 10 games, you're done.
I have to agree with you, George. So, look, I'm a Steelers fan. If Roethlisberger goes down, you're just holding your breath. It's not long term, and then Landry Jones can, you know, keep the offense warm. But it obviously took steps back when he was out last year. So, moving on to some other cutdowns that we should probably discuss, some of which may or may not be fantasy relevant. But the Broncos ship backup tackle Tyson Brallo to Atlanta in exchange for a 5th-round pick. So Atlanta adding some depth on the offensive line. Denver also released journeyman running back Stephen Ridley. I think that's a result of Jamaal Charles earning that job, George. So Ridley, who was once valuable when he was with the Patriots, finds himself out of a job and Jamaal Charles in the job. So let me ask you this first. What kind of expectations do you have for Jamaal Charles? Because so many people are sketchy on C.J. Anderson remaining the starter. That do you think Jamaal Charles sees a few carries every week, or is he just hanging out?
Well, you're not drafting Jamaal. I mean, you're not drafting Jamaal Charles as a starter. I mean, that would be suicidal. Sure. Even he made the team. Fantastic. He does have something left, but he's not going to touch the ball 15 times a game. He won't last 4 weeks doing that. So I think he'll get a plays that are designed for Jamaal Charles here and there. He may touch the ball 8 to 10 times, you know, and that there is some value there. But it's more value when injuries occur, bye weeks, that sort of thing. When the weeks are full, which they are for the first month of the season, I'm not sure there's a place for Jamaal Charles in your fantasy lineup, not in 10, 12 team leagues. You're talking 14, 16, 18 plus team leagues. Yes, then you can find room. But in your standard leagues, most definitely not.
So Devontae Booker's out. Is still nursing an injury. There's thoughts that he's going to be back potentially by week three, but that remains to be seen. Would you take Jamaal Charles as a handcuff to C.J. Anderson?
No, I don't draft handcuffs. I think that's silly. The only way I would draft a handcuff is if he was the next best running back on my board. You know, most teams nowadays use a two running back system, so that handcuff is actually valuable. Someone's going to draft them because they need a starting running back. You know, well, they need to have depth on their roster. So to go out and actually say you're going to draft a handcuff, it does happen with some teams. Some teams do have that pure handcuff. But most teams, both running backs are going to get drafted anyway. So there aren't handcuffs. There's at least not as many handcuffs in today's games as there used to be. You know, where guys are drafted purely for handcuffs, purely the only way they were valuable is in case the starter got injured. That's not the case anymore. Now the backups are valuable anyway. So, no, I'm not drafting him as a handcuff. No, but I think Jamaal Charles, like I said, 10 team leagues, I don't think he has much value. 12 team leagues, I think he does, because I think he could. Like I said, 8 to 10 touches a game has value. But he won't be the goal line guy, so you're not getting that. So, you know, like I said, the value I think will be limited, and it's limited to PPR leagues as well.
You know, it's interesting. Well, first of all, I'm happy for Jamaal Charles that he's able to come back and at least continue his NFL career. He was a massively explosive fantasy star and a great NFL player. He's obviously suffered a number of significant injuries. I still have him, George, on my dynasty team, which is a 16-team league and huge rosters. So we really dig deep, and it's why Jamaal Charles is still on my roster. So in that sense, I'm happy to have him with any kind of value at all. But it will get more muddled when Devontae Booker comes back from injury. You have D'Angelo Henderson, an explosive rookie there. Ridley finds himself out of a job. There was thoughts that Charles would be cut because, for this reason, George, your third or fourth running back has to play what?
Special teams.
That's right. And Jamaal Charles will not do that for obvious reasons. They're afraid he will get hurt. And he's a veteran guy. They're not going to subject him to being a gunner on the punt team. So there was thoughts that he played well enough. He ran the ball well enough that he obviously proved that he's an asset for them. So good for him. Jamaal Charles finds himself on the Denver roster, and it's deeper leagues only. Chris Johnson cut in Arizona. That's possibly the end of the road for Chris Johnson's career. The Lions released running back Matt Asiata, so we know about a little bit more about the depth chart there. I mentioned Tim Hightower was released. The Steelers released Niall Davis. I'm saying all of these guys. I know they're not. I'm saying mentioning all these names. I know they're not all entirely fantasy relevant, but I want you to know in case you're in deeper leagues who remained on the roster. Victor Cruz, George. He's out. Chicago. That's probably it. I think you call it a career for Victor Cruz, don't you think?
I think he'll try at least one more time to catch on with somebody else. But if you ask me what I think about his career, yeah, I think his career is over.
Yeah, so that's the deal. So we'll talk a little bit more about some of these cuts, how they might fit into your fantasy teams on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network next. We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Mike and George. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. And if you want to give us a call, 844-843-6879. That's 84-FNTSY. So, as I've been mentioning all morning, it is cut down day. The only other thing, George, I thought was odd is that Jeremy Zuta, the longtime offensive lineman for the Ravens that they traded to San Francisco, whom San Francisco then cut, whom the Ravens then signed to a two-year deal, was cut like 2 weeks after he got back to Baltimore. So the reason I mention it is because despite the fact that I've been bashing like the Cincinnati offensive line, Baltimore's offensive line has really tanked this offseason because Zuta, who's once a part of the team, is now no longer on it. John Urschel retired. They lost starting guard Alex Lewis for the season. They lost backup Nico Siragusa for the season. So effectively, four guys that were in their plans back in March are no longer on the team or are out for the season.
Yeah, it happens. I don't think anyone's worried about Zutov. He wasn't going to make a huge difference either way. The Ravens have had a brutal training camp, offseason, whatever you want to call it, with injuries, guys missing time. I saw a projection. I forget where. Maybe it was Sports Station. They projected that the Ravens to go 10-6.
I don't see that.
How's that happening? Anyone tell me how that's happening?
I don't see that at all. I think they've got so many injuries. Flacco is still banged up, although there was a promise that he'll start in week one. So all's well and good. If the offensive line stinks and they got running back issues and they got offensive line issues, I just don't think that the acquisitions that they made during the offseason fixed a team that wasn't really that good last year.
Yeah, it's. I agree. I see this team maybe as a bottom 10 team that's going to have a top 10 draft pick come next year. Just everything's gone wrong for them. And I don't know if they have the talent anywhere really to pick it up where you can say, oh, you can rely on this. You can rely on, I don't think Joe Flacco is some great quarterback. They don't have a great running game. You know, Kenneth Dixon's gone for the year. They don't have great receivers. They're adequate. Macklin, Mike Wallace, adequate. Lost the tight end. I mean, where's the boom part of this team? I just don't see it.
They don't have that at all. That's, you know, that I know people were counting on Kenny Dixon. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So Terrence West, you want to be your fantasy star? Like, that's the funny thing about the Ravens. Like, who is the star in fantasy that you can point to and be like, you know what, that's the guy I really want to own in Baltimore?
No, I just think it being an ugly season for the Ravens. Yeah, tough division. So even Cleveland's getting better. They don't have a quarterback. Not yet. I think Kaiser's interesting, but I wouldn't call him a quarterback yet. But they're a good team. We know Pittsburgh's good. Cincinnati, outside of offensive line problems, and people keep getting suspended, they're good too.
Bold prediction. Cleveland comes in second place in the AFC North. What do you think?
Oh, man, I think a bold prediction would say, hey, they'll finish third. I'll give them third. I think they'll finish ahead of Baltimore. I'll give them ahead of Baltimore. I'm not going to say they're going to finish ahead of Cincinnati or Pittsburgh.
All right. Well, I don't want to jump on the Browns bandwagon just yet, but I've seen a lot of positive things there. I wish they weren't starting a rookie quarterback, but, I mean, it beats the hell out of Osweiler, and I guess it beats Cody Kessler as far as they're concerned.
That's right. But, you know, you actually give them four wins, that'd be a bold prediction. I think they're on their way up somewhat. Lord knows they can't go any further down. So I think they'll be an interesting team. They said if Kaiser can prove that he can be an NFL quarterback, this team is sort of on their way, but they still make some interesting moves that I just don't get.
Yeah, they have in some instances cut players just to save the cash. Like Joe Hayden isn't what he was 3 years ago. I get it. You have tons of room under the cap. You couldn't keep Joe Hayden around to make your team better?
I agree. You know, I mean, once again, you want to save that money, but you have a ton of money saved. Didn't they? $60 million under the cap? Not like they didn't save that cash. So I don't know if I understand that. Now you get a division rival. You give them another cornerback.
They're not the Oakland A's. It's a football team. They make so much money. It shouldn't matter that much, but whatever. It's easier to spend other people's cash than your own. So come back on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's Mike and George on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.